Welcome to Season 2 of WeTel Talks. WeTel is a community for developers and WeTel Talks is our live audio stream. This is a recorded episode from the live stream. We invite inspiring techies from all over the world to meet, host talks and discuss the latest in tech. My name is Charlotte Holman and I'm the founder of WeTel. In this episode, we meet Sophie Perslow, who is the former CTO of Allermedia, that is a traditional media house with a mission to become more data-driven. She has twice been top-ranked as one of the future female leaders by the organization The Leaders. She talks about how she became a CTO without a development background. So today with us, we have Sophie Perslow, who is former CTO of Allermedia. You have also been top ranked as the future female leader by the organization Leaders. So fun to have you here. Thanks for coming today.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. So for us that don't know much about you, can you tell us a bit about your background?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Sophie Perslow. I'm 37 years old, approaching 40, which is a bit panicking for me. I didn't think so.
So but young still.
Thank you. I needed that. I started off as a management consultant and working a lot with analytics and IT transformation, and moving over to the retail sector, continuing working with data analytics and tech digitalization. That is my big passion in life. And starting off my leadership career at ICA, also a very big passion of mine, going over to the marketing side, working with the same things, marketing transformation, analytics in marketing, market insights, and moving over to media to become a head of tech and analytics and CTO at Allermedia. So that is my professional background.
Very strong background.
Thank you.
And how did you find this passion for analytics and tech?
I would say I always had a passion for maths. So that was always my favorite subject in school. Studying at KTH in Stockholm, also I fed my interest for maths and technical problem solving. And as a management consultant, I also held that line. So I would say it came with me from the start. I've always been interested in technical problem solving and maths. Mm. And that is very well aligned with the analytics role and technical development. And lucky me, that was in the age of digitalization. So there's always been room for that, for growing that interest and having that as a professional career.
Mm. And our community are developers, and we have now been interviewing 7 CTOs for 7 weeks. And you are a CTO that doesn't really have this like programming background, which I think is super interesting. And I want to deep dive within that. So how do you feel, first of all, about leading a team of developers, and maybe you don't know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I've been asking myself that for a while. It's a very, very interesting topic and very interesting experience, but my view of leadership is that you maybe shouldn't be the best person for all the detailed work and all the operations done in the team. So you can focus on the leadership part, the visionary part, and helping the people and getting them what they need in the team to succeed. Mm. So maybe that is like creating room for me to make sure that they can succeed in their roles instead. So that's the positive side of it. Then, of course, many times I would have wished that I also could do the programming or help them in specific questions. But I always had good team leads and great other team members that could be the translator in those types of situations. So that is honestly, that hasn't been a issue for me yet.
Mm. Cool. And you were first 2 people in the tech team. We've talked about Allermedia, and you became 30
developers.
Yeah.
When you quit, can you tell us a bit about that journey?
Of course. So I when I started at Telemedia, I was head of tech and analytics. And then it wasn't the web development part wasn't a part of that, so that came later. And I would say it was about 5-6 developers that came in, not organically, but moving into my area, and I got the responsibility for them. But then we had a very aggressive schedule of recruiting a lot of the developers in the last 2 years. We were a bit over 30 developers, I would say, in total when I left Telemedia. And it was a very interesting journey because at the same time we also recruited a lot of the analytics people and insights people and product owners. So we had everything under the same roof, which we can talk more about what strength comes with that. But when it comes to recruiting developers, it's of course, as everyone knows, a struggle because you want to find the great stars and everyone wants to find them and attract them and keep them. What we did was go very much after the core values that we had at Telemedia, which is a great company and with very great values. And we strengthened them and prolonged them into the tech arena. And also try to express them very much in the interaction and then interviewing with the candidates. And that was a great success. And that spread the word. And we got different acknowledgements and awards for being a great tech recruiter and attracting a lot of great talent, which was a great, it was a good recognition for us. That we were doing the right thing.
Yeah, and can you tell to everybody what Telemedia does? Because I think we all know it, but I still had to Google. I was like, what exactly do you do?
it's not always easy to know the main brand and what's included in it, but it's a very nice family-owned company with a great history. It's a Danish company from the beginning, and it's based on print media from the beginning, but has made a great digital journey during the last 10 years, I would say. And my part of it the last 2 years was to bring the data and analytics and also, of course, speeding up and empowering the tech development and product development. But the titles included in Telemedia's portfolio is L, for instance, in Sweden. It's Femina, it's Hent, which is a great celebrity news site, Svensk Damtidning. So it's a lot of known titles for people growing up in Sweden and especially for women because it's a women's focus since some years back. So it's a media house, I would say, if I need to summarize it into words.
Yeah, and exactly what does the developers deal with there?
A lot of things. We had a few different groupings of developers. Some developers worked with the publishing sites, so with the CMS development and the microservices connected to that. Some developers worked more on the commercial side with ad tech development and other things related to that. And some developers worked with specific products such as apps and our influencer platform and stuff like that. So we had a few different branches of developers working on the different products.
And how did you build that team? Can you take us through that journey?
Yeah, so it started off on the analytics side, I would say. So we started off by hiring data engineers and product managers and product owners to build the structure around it and insights people. So then we also, of course, strengthened the tech organization because we needed people to develop the things that we designed and what the insights said that we needed to do with the products. So I would like to describe it as a ecosystem that you first collect the insights about the target groups and how they interact with the platforms. all of that needs to go into some kind of analytics platform where you slice and dice the data and get some insights on what to develop and how to further develop the products. Then it goes into the product team where you have the product owners, the developers, and all the great people working on the products to make the insights-based decisions and to bake also bake in the analytics components in the products. And when people use it, then it goes back to insights and you can A/B test and get some insights. So that is how I like to see the tech analytics loop closing. So building, that was my strongest vision when building that team at AllerMedia, to have all of these parts included in one organization working together. And we established a company-wide agile program to get that ecosystem in place and to start working like that with all the digital development we had along the whole company.
Very interesting challenges. So basically the products were the newspapers, the online newspapers.
And some of them. The editorial products was online brands or magazines, but we also had digital products in the shape of form of commercial products.
So you basically wanted all the statistics to know where maybe to place ads and stuff
exactly.
like that?
Yeah, to optimize the ad spaces, to increase the performance of the sites because we saw that it was loading too slowly. That was a common problem amongst a lot of digital products. We saw that the usage was, the users were using the product in a certain way, then we used that data to further develop. And so it was a lot of insights-based work and the journey to come there for the whole company as a legacy company to empower all the people to make data-driven decisions, both in the digital space, in the product development, but also in the business.
Now I start to understand why they hired you. So who was the first person that you hired? Like, who was the first developer you hired? Was some sort of tech lead or...?
Yeah, actually that was... I think that the name of the role then was like... data and analytics lead or something like that. So but basically that person, the role of that person was to together with me set up the full ecosystem and infrastructure and start looking at the tech landscape. How should we take this to the next level? And a lot of focus on building the data lake to have that as a foundation for all the tech development that we were supposed to do.
Cool. And were you involved in the recruitment of the developers?
Yes, but I didn't have the technical interviews. That was a very good thing, both for me and for the candidates, that I wasn't responsible for them, because as you said, I'm not a developer myself, but I was responsible a lot for like finding the right cultural fit and finding the right people to the specific teams. So I was usually the grandmother interview, which is a bit sad, but yeah. True.
And what is important to you when you're recruiting developers, techies?
I think it's very important for me as a non-developer to have a big understanding on what is important for developers. So I try to have a very humble approach when finding the right people, that you shouldn't look for people that is a specific shape or form. I think great developers can come in any form, but I look for a good energy, and that is always like something that need to be in place in some form. It doesn't have to be very expressionist. It could be internal, but some kind of spark or energy or a big passion for what you do. So to speak. So that is something that I always look for. And of course, a good team fit, that you should be able to work with other people in some shape or form. You don't have to be the party starter or like very talkative, but some kind of like working together. Also, of course, a good person. I mean, to find the right people with the right mindset. It's all about that, I would say.
But it's so hard to find out on, you know, two or three interviews. Do you have any trick questions that you ask people to find out?
Usually I work a lot with I would say mini cases, but not in terms of like calculations or programming, more like in situations. So if this happened, what would you do then? Or let's say that this is, you are in the case of not being able to deliver in time or whatever. It seems like very simple questions, but it's something that you couldn't really prepare for as a candidate. So it's really good to get them, to get their first reactions out. What they would do in those situations. And you get to know them a little bit better.
Yeah, when they tell about actual story about something that they actually did once.
Exactly.
And do you have any like red flags then, what to not say?
Yeah, let me think a bit, but I would say if they blame others a lot, like, so if you couldn't deliver on this, what would happen? Oh yeah, I would say that it was this person's fault or whatever. That is of course a red flag. Or another red flag could be that they don't care. I mean, if they, you couldn't deliver this or you have this type of problem. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, that I would call my manager and him or her would solve it. So that's another, that's probably the top two, I would say.
Yeah, don't say that.
No, don't say that. Good tip. Write it down.
Yeah, and let's talk a bit about leadership. You have this, I don't know to say award, but you're top ranked as one of the future female leaders by The Leader. What was the motivation there, you think?
Yeah, it was a few years ago, so I don't remember exactly, but if I remember correctly, it was something about both like the community thinking that we are all in it together and that we are doing this on the same terms and we are making the decisions together, but also like the visionary thing, that I'm very visionary and I always set out the direction where I think we need to go. Then that could change in the discussion with the team, of course, but it's always important to have a flag in the horizon where you should take the team together. So if I remember correctly, that was the motivation both of the times.
And I mean, now you have been top ranked, so we can say that you're probably a good leader. And like, if I want to be a good leader, what do I do? Have you ever taken a leadership class, or do you think, are you just born like that? Or what are your ideas and advice to maybe other people that want to become leader?
I think, and this might be a bit controversial, but I think that you have different, from the beginning you are trained or you are born in different ways. So some people are more natural leaders than others. I wouldn't say that everyone couldn't be a leader, but you have some things are easier for you and some things are easier for me. I mean, that's in our genetics. So I would say that I have some cheating from that, I've always been very like, I've had a very easy time taking the leadership role in all the context I've been in.
Ever since you were a child? Or?
Oh yeah, I would say that, yeah.
Are your parents some type of leaders?
Yeah, my father has been always been in leading, or always, but later parts of his career was a leading character in his field. So
what did he do?
He was in the construction business, but there I think it's, and now my husband is in construction and real estate business, so I know a bit more about it, but there I think it's very important with good leadership, because you have a lot of stereotype men working in the, sorry for everyone working in the construction business, but I think it still is very important with good leadership there. It is important everywhere, but in certain places even more important. So maybe I had that. I never thought about it, but maybe that was a good role model, but also other both male and female role models for me growing up. And I was not the only child, but a very late sluddies, I would say. So maybe that was also a thing that as a single child almost, or single from being the only child at home, maybe I had a good place to act out as well, to learn on my own.
On your parents.
On my parents, exactly.
I'm also only child, yeah. Actually. I think I haven't thought about it also so much, but I think it has something to do with the roles you choose.
Yeah, that could be it. And now I would say that my own parenting, because I have two kids, two sons aging 6 and 8, I would say that parenting has taught me a lot about leadership as well, being a parent myself. So,
must be tough.
Yeah, it is really tough, and some hard discussions at work could be seen as a soft touch if you compare it to some discussions you have at home with your family, I would say. Mm. So yeah, it taught me a lot.
How do you get someone to do something that they don't want to do?
Everyone has some different like driving forces and inner driving forces, and some things that they really would like to achieve. And I would say that very few people that is money. I would say it's very often something else than money.
That's my goal.
Yeah, that could be.
But maybe not.
Then it's,
maybe it is something.
Maybe you think
that.
It is.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe it's something else like power or something. But that's so trying to find that, and that could sound very manipulative, and that's not the case. I mean, it's more like finding the angle of the problem, or and also compromising sometimes. So you don't want to do this, or you don't think we should do this. Do you have other suggestions that we can reach the same goal but in another way? So also there, back to the discussion, I mean, listening and discussing and not pointing with your whole hand the whole time. Sometimes you need to do that as a leader, because you can't be too soft either. But 99% of the times, I would say, you can come to a solution if you just listen. Because usually it's a reason why someone don't want to do it, something. Especially with developers, I've noticed. I mean, I won't say that everyone is the same, but usually you developers listening out there always have or usually have a good competence in the field that you're in, of course, and there's often reasons why you think we should do it some way in another way, and then I should listen to that. So I would say communication, even if it sounds very cliche.
And what type of leader would you say that you are? Do you have a style?
Yeah, I don't have like this specific avatar style, but I would say that there are some words that probably define me as a leader, and that is coming back each feedback round I get from my my colleagues. And one of the things is the trusting thing. I think that is very important, that I usually I trust people until the opposite is proved. So I go in with the mindset that everyone is trustable, and if they fuck up, then of course I have to to redefine. No, but yeah, I have to redefine what I think of them. But I go in with a lot of trust, because I think that's very important in leadership. And then I would also say that I'm very visionary and driven, so I like to really paint the picture of where we should be in 1 year or 2 years or 6 months or 1 month. That is very important. I mean, it's a lot of, like, you can read a lot about that, that you should find your goal pictures and images and imagine stuff in your head, and also not to say the least about athletes, they work a lot with that. So I think that's a good tool as a leader as well. To use that visionary thing to get everyone on board, and the drive, I mean, to also be there in it yourself, to really roll up the sleeves and be there and stand there together. And then I would also say that I like to have fun at work. I mean, we work so many hours per week, and in a lifetime it's so many hours, more than you meet your family probably. So if you don't have fun along the way, then it's kind of a waste. So we should have fun together and working on things that are fun. And if you don't like the things you're working with, then you should probably do something else.
I completely agree. Interesting. And what would you say is a bad leader?
Yeah, I would say that lack of communication is probably the worst thing you can do as a leader. If you sit in your room or at home nowadays, you can hide even more as a leader, not communicating, either listening to your team and or discussing with your team or talking to your team about the vision or about the culture or about what we are supposed to do. So that I would say is one big red flag as a leader. Another thing is that if you're afraid, you should try to drop your fears and be fearless. Because, I mean, I always think, what is the worst that could happen? And that's a common thing to say. But really, if you practice that, then you'd see that not a lot of bad things could happen. So try to not be afraid. And if you go your own way, that's also another red flag. If you don't listen in the team, if you say that we should go this way and we should do it in this manner or in this path, then I think it's also not a very good start, because you should be a bit wingy and listen in and don't have too much of your own opinion baked into it. And last thing I would say on the bad side list is to be unpredictable. Because then it's very hard to give your all as a team member if you don't know where you have your leader. If you one day have you be on the right foot and on the next day you be on the left foot and you are pointing in all directions, and yeah, that's not a good thing for a leader, I would say, generally speaking.
Yeah, to make your team feel unsafe.
Exactly, that's the worst thing to make people scared and not innovative and not give their all, then you should be very unpredictable, I would say. Mm-hmm. But most leaders don't want that from their teams.
And do you yourself have any role models?
Yeah, actually, I posted on LinkedIn yesterday on the International Women's Day that my top four role models. And actually, I didn't write there that it was the top four women role models, because I think it's the top four all genders across, and then it happens to be four women. So I would say Nina Jönsson is a really good role model. She's now a CEO of Plantagen. She was head of assortment and buying at ICA and director there when I worked at ICA. She's a really strong leader and with a really great heart. And then, of course, Bodil Eriksson Torp, the former CEO of Alimedia, is a really big role model and a really great leader, I would say. Then I have two other people on the list, Jenny Eriksson from ICA as well, my first leader at ICA, which is, she's also a very strong woman and with amazing capacity. And then I have my current co-founder, Louise Tuehall, which is also a great role model. She was the first role model for me when I started as a management consultant 15 years ago or something. And she still is. Then she was the senior consultant that knew everything, and I was fresh from school, so I was afraid of everything. But she is still going strong, and now she has to cope with me every single day of our new startup. And that is really... She has a handful, so she's a big role model as well. So that's my top four, I would say.
Nice to work with your role model.
Yeah.
And
always surround you with greater people than yourself.
That's great advice. And I want to talk to you a bit about your new startup, because you just quit Alimedia to start your own thing. And I know that you don't want to say exactly what it is yet. So you can just say if you don't want to answer something, but can you say what area it is?
It's a digital product, and it's in the area of AI, fashion, and e-commerce. To be a bit not very expressive about it.
And is this the first time you have started something yourself?
Yes, actually it is. So I'm approaching 40, so I don't know if it's a life crisis or something. But I felt it was the time for me to do something on my own, to build something from scratch. I've always been working with big corporations, either global or Nordic corporations. So I really want to see how it is to start from scratch and see. It's a big challenge, of course, because you have to learn different things. You can't hide behind your team and make them all do all the hard work. You have to do everything by yourself. So me and my co-founder now is going strong and in the very beginning of our new thing that is hopefully is released in May, June this year.
Super cool. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Let's see.
No. Of course it will fly. And I was going to ask you also, what are your goals? I mean, now you started your own thing. What is like your goals for the future?
I mean, this also sounds like a cliche, but I always want to learn new stuff. And I always want to, in my specific area of leadership and tech analytics area. And in this, I think I will definitely learn a lot, both about leadership, because we will start from scratch. I don't have a fancy trademark or brand that I can hide behind and steal the values from. I need to build everything myself. But also on the technical aspect, I need to really roll up the sleeves and do a lot of the manual work as well. So learning, I would say, is a big thing. Approaching problems from different angles. So approaching a problem now from the angle of starting something from scratch is a new thing. Mm-hmm. Probably there's other things, other ways to approach it. And that maybe is my next thing. I don't know. I've never had a 10-year plan for my career, I would say. I always have the grabbing the nearest branch to see what it can take me.
Mm-hmm. So do you have anything you want to achieve? Like a bucket list, checkbox?
Not really, I would say. And that might be a very boring answer, but I don't believe in having fancy titles or having specific things that you want to achieve. Because I don't think that would make me happy. I would say learning is the big bucket list for me, to put everything I can into my brain, mind and body from all the experience I get. That's the big thing.
Great. And now we covered so much, but I want to jump back to if you would give advice to someone that maybe doesn't have a programming background, if they want to be a CTO, like what are the challenges that you have had? Can you tell us a story when you have like, oh my god, that was big failure or something that you learned from? Or
maybe not a specific happening, but I would say that the biggest challenge is to know the right level of what you need to know. To ask the right questions. So you need to find your level, find your interests. And I don't think that you should become a CTO if you're not interested in tech. So you have to have some kind of tech interest or passion, even if you're not a programmer yourself. So that is maybe the biggest challenge, to get the right knowledge and to find that level of knowledge that you need to have to be a good leader in tech.
Do you think some companies need that technical challenge? Are there other companies that maybe it's more fine to come and be a bit more higher level?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a scaling thing. So if you are at a startup and you are a CTO and you don't have specific technical skills, then it could be an issue. But if you're at a bigger corporation, it's more about leadership and vision and culture and setting the right roadmap for the team. So I would say it's a scaling thing, but I don't say it's impossible. I mean, I'm now CTO of my own startup, so I hope that I can ask our developers the right questions to come to the right goal.
Great. So one last question. What is your top three advice if you want to become a CTO?
Ooh. Yeah, I would say passion for tech. That is like, it's more of a checklist thing, but that needs to be in place. Otherwise, it's not a great job for you. It won't be fun. Listen and trust. That's two words, but I would say that that's one advice together. You should really listen to the people you have, because usually you have so much great people in a tech organization that has so much great deep knowledge about the different areas. So really listen and pay attention and include people in the development and in the strategic decisions as well. And have fun along the way. I mean, that's a cliche, but I mean, if you don't have fun, you won't be good at it. That's the truth. So try to have fun along the way. Don't take yourself or your challenges too seriously. It will be a lot more fun and you will learn a lot more if you are more relaxed. So, but that's easy for me to say, having a lot of years in the behind me. It wasn't that easy fresh from school or a couple of years into my career. So I would say that you can have that as a goal, but I know it's not easy to always follow those advice. But keep going strong. I mean, we're in the right sector. It's it's happening a lot. So you're definitely at the right place. The world is it's a big opportunity.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Sophie, it was great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. WeTel Talks is created by WeTel, a coding community with thousands of developers. In our app, you can find your next career opportunity or join tech conversations. See you next time.